in school, if he just take his signing bonus and just put it up, he's set for life, you know. I'm a big component of education, but in sports, you got to go when you hot.
You can always go back.
You can always.
You can't always go pro, but you can always go back to school.
Exactly right.
As far as Duke goes, Chris, I don't appreciate guys taking shots at you. That's what I'm here for. I'm here.
Well, you know, I was saying that because they made the ACC championship game, and I give Clemson a lot of credit. They beat Ohio State, a team that was in a BCS bowl game, and they won their first BCS bowl as a school.
They didn't play Clemson straight up, so we really don't know technically who the second best team is. But only one other team other than Florida State made the ACC championship game. And that was Duke.
That's why I gave them the nod, at least. I understand they didn't make a BCS bowl game, but.
Boy, Taj Boyd had me tearing my hair out the other night. That dude
was
killing me.
He wanted to give it away.
I'm like, Taj, quit doing that.
He was like, here you go, Buckeyes. No, you can have it.
I'm like,
keep it.
Get the ball to Sammy Watkins a couple more times. Thank God that dude's going pro. He's a talent.
He's
now.
The fastest man alive.
Oh,
and
I know
I'm exaggerating, but he's the fastest man alive on the football field.
He's great.
His acceleration point is so much quicker. He's the kind of guy that when he runs to the sideline, if he stutter steps for that split second, any defender that stops won't be able to catch him once he accelerates again.
He has great footwork.
Yeah.
He's
great,
better
great.
Than everybody else. I mean, it's fun to watch. I said this yesterday. It's fun to watch guys who are better than everybody else by far and realize it. He's one of those guys. Johnny Manziel is one of those guys. It's like, you guys aren't even playing the same game I'm playing out here. It's so much fun to watch those guys be self-aware that they're so much better.
It's amazing.
It's like if you could go back now and play against 12-year-olds.
Oh, man, I would kill him. No,
no doubt.
I couldn't keep up with him. Couldn't keep up.
Half court. Jim Harris joining us now on the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. I think R.J. Hawk was hanging out down there last night watching the national title.
Was.
What say, Jim?
Hey, what's going on?
Happy New Year, buddy.
Oh, Happy New Year to you.
How much longer can I say that?
Having phone problems today, but finally getting through to you.
I say Happy New Year can be said for the first 2 weeks of the new year. I'm going too.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So I think up until like halfway through the year. I think at the end
you
of
think
June,
so?
End of June, you can't say it
you
anymore.
You know, it's a great thing to say to people when you're at the grocery store. This is such a Seinfeld conversation, but whenever you see people, hey, see you later. All right, I'll see you later. No, it's hey, Happy New Year. Bye. It's a pleasant way to end a conversation.
It really is. I think you can say Happy New Year until you stop forgetting to write 2014 on your checks.
Man,
because like I'll write 2013 on a check, and the thing is, I probably write literally 12 checks a year now because of the debit card. But I'll probably write 2013 on the next probably 8 checks I write.
You know what? You can't really change a 3 to a 4 either. It's very difficult.
It sucks.
I know.
Right.
I know. You got to rewrite it.
Yep. Anyway, sorry, Jim. You just walked into randomness here. But
thanks, Kramer.
Thoughts on the championship game last night?
Thoughts? It was a great game. Probably one of the, you know, three best.
The best game I saw in 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, there were some good games down the stretch. And, of course, the NFL games we had this Saturday and Sunday were incredible, too. So, I mean, we've had a good run of good football. But really, in terms of the BCS, you're not going to get much better excitement than that. I guess Vince Young was similar. Texas 2005 championship, January 2006, same stadium. Pretty incredible. My final thing I'll say about how great Malzahn is in designing things is how well he had set up that very last play. And there's a picture from the end zone of that. And if you look at it, it almost looks like the punt return against Alabama. If one Florida State player gets blocked instead of sort of forcing Trey back into the middle of the field, It might have gone down the sidelines for a touchdown. It was an incredibly well-designed play for one of those harem scarum, flea flicker, throwback, lateral thing. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I've had phone problems here in the last 30 minutes, so I didn't know if I'd lost you.
No, we're good. We're just tuned in.
But anyway, other than that, kicking game always comes into play in a championship game. Florida State sort of won it with a fake punt to get the momentum back, and that kickoff return gave them the lead for good, and not for good, but gave them the first lead they'd had since 3-0. And they got a big edge in the kicking game. Auburn was fumbling the ball away, nearly lost it. couple of times, but they seemed a little. It seemed like after they got up 21-3, I think they sort of kind of started thinking, "Wow, you know, are we really supposed to be up like this?"
Kev says, how many passes did Auburn throw in the game? It seems like they got a little pass happy in the third quarter. Nick Marshall ended up throwing 27. He was only 14 of 27. Threw the one interception that I believe led to Florida State points and then the two touchdown passes. So he did have his moments. But, yeah, I agree. I would have liked to have seen. Now, Mason had his share of carries. I mean, the guy had 34 carries. He went for almost 200 yards.
He had 195 yards. And I'll tell you, I mean, it looked to me like Florida State's game was the – you know, take the run away and make Mason pass. So for him to rush for nearly 200 yards against a defense geared to make them throw, and Auburn was going to oblige them there. He had a heck of a game. And you know, early on, you think about a drop down the middle against, you know, a really deep cover two. I think the kid that, you know, Lewis. Ricardo Lewis that caught the winner against Georgia. I mean, it was a little low, and he had to reach down, but he dropped the ball early. He could have got him moving. You know, there were some passes. And in the pass, defense for Auburn was incredibly good for most of the game, yeah. But you saw the safety, Ryan Carter, I think is his name, and then Chris Davis make a bad play. Both with bad angles against that receiver in zone, and he busted for 50 yards. I mean, think about with a minute to go, that the last thing you want to do is let them give them 50 yards and put them on the 20 with a, you know, shots in the end zone, and that was a awfully critical blown play for a defense that really played a heck of a game last night.
Yeah. Jim Harris joining us, SportingLifeArkansas.com on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Ernie Murray's in the studio. We'll talk some basketball here in a moment. Chris Kane also here from KATV and Matty T. Auburn, number two in the national rankings here at the end of the season. South Carolina and Missouri also in the top five. Alabama 7, LSU 14, A&M 18, and Vanderbilt pokes its head into the top 25 at 24, just behind Duke and ahead of Washington in the final poll. So that's 7 by my count. SEC teams in the top 24 in the final poll. So overall, with two BCS losses, how would you evaluate the year for the SEC, Jim?
No, still an outstanding year, a little more balanced, not as great at the top. I think Auburn was a really good team on a hot streak. I don't know if they were truly great in the way that Alabama and LSU were a couple of years ago. But the league in itself, you know, the top, the 10 teams that all went to bowls were, you know, pretty strong teams. I mean, there's a reason why Arkansas was unable to, you know, crack the win column in the SEC this year, with the SEC West from 1-6 being awfully stout. I mean, look what the whipping Mississippi State put on Rice. I think that was impressive, and it bodes well for Mississippi State's team next year. I think they can build on their three straight wins at the end of the season. I'd kind of watch out for them. I wouldn't check that as an Arkansas win next year. You know, fans like to say who we're going to win against. I think Ole Miss, you know, had an okay season. I kind of expected a little more of them, but I think their youth showed up down the second half because they were freshmen. But I would really expect great things out of them next year. And, I mean, the reason I'm just focusing on the West is, I mean, if Arkansas can't make any inroads on that side, you can forget, you know, you probably forget making a bowl game again, because you'll have six games against West teams again.
Yeah.
Texas A&M may take a step backward. They played exactly like I thought they would this year. I think we said that, I mean, the bullet would be, you know, bullseye would be on Johnny Manziel, and I think they went 9-4, but I think they had a lot higher hopes for that. I think they'll fall if he goes pro. They'll drop back.
My rundown. Johnny Manziel, undecided question mark.
Right.
Do you think he's undecided? And if he's not undecided and he's truly going to go pro, what's the point of hanging in there? I mean, by everybody's evaluation that I've seen, he's a first-round pick. Now, some people would argue that he's the third, no better than the third overall quarterback taken, but that he could still be a top-five guy.
Right.
And how much better does it get next year if he stays? I mean, because then you're going to see guys like Jameis Winston coming out, I assume.
I don't know, but he can't have as many distractions this year as he had last year.
True.
So he may actually come back and have a better college year if he stays. But I would think he's coming out, and I think he causes too many distractions for him. But on the other hand, I don't know if they can, stay up there. I still think they'll have some defensive problems. I don't think they can remake that defense in one season. Just as I don't think Arkansas can all of a sudden become awesome on defense in one season. LSU's going to take a step back, but they had a pretty decent team. You know, they just ran into a few teams they couldn't handle this year. And Alabama and Auburn, I think Alabama takes a step back at quarterback, but I mean, they're still going to have all those top, five-star and four-star recruits. And then Auburn's got, the offense back and should be there again. Arkansas opens the season at Auburn. So really, I think the SEC's at a high point in terms of depth from top to bottom.
And that's terrible news. just the opposite.
I mean, Kentucky, Tennessee, those teams are going to get better.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of teams to pass.
When is James Franklin taking the job at Penn State?
He needs to get out of there. Maybe that would open up some recruiting areas for Arkansas. Jeez.
Let's get Vanderbilt back to a 3-win team.
Rumor has it he's the leading candidate right now, according to Bruce Feldman from CBS.
Ought to be.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I thought he should have been the leading candidate at Texas, but they decided not to go that way. I mean, I'm happy for an Arkansas and Charlie Strong, but for all that their program entails with media and ESPN, Longhorn Network, that's going to be interesting. Paul Feinbaum called him dynamic the other day, and I've never seen him as Charlie Strong.
Huh.
I've never seen him as dynamic. He may be dynamic in the locker room and on the practice field and in the rooms with the parents when he's talking to them, but he isn't dynamic in front of a camera.
I'll say this, and the more people listen to this show, I'm sure they feel the same way about me, but the more I hear from Paul Feinbaum, the more I think he's an idiot. I still don't understand the appeal. He's a goofy-looking, big-eared, highly opinionated, average show host. I don't get it. I just – you guys will have to explain it to me.
Paul?
I've only been doing this for 11 years. Maybe I missed the point, and I'm not trying to say I'm a great radio host, but my point is I don't understand Paul Feinbaum. I don't get the appeal. I think he's worse on TV than he is on radio. I don't find the guy particularly interesting at all. Am I missing it?
No.
What am I missing?
I don't know.
He's a really intelligent guy.
That's great. There are a lot of smart people that I don't want to hear him talk about football.
He does have a face and a head for radio. But
more sympathetic I could not be. I'm just saying, I don't get it.
I don't know, they're paying him a bunch of money to get up there last night. I don't know if you were up last night real late, but they finally had him on at the Rose Bowl for about 30 seconds. I mean,
that's too much.
I mean, well, yeah, 30 seconds. But he did have a good point. He was talking about the mantle being passed from Saban to Jimbo Fisher. It has Alabama kind of ceded that dominant position now to FSU, and you think about all the guys they've got coming back. They got most of that line. Of course, they've got the quarterback back. Are they going to be the dominant Alabama for the next, foreseeable future again?
Yeah. It's early to tell, but Jimbo's been – we were talking about earlier. I mean, the guy's never lost a bowl game as a head coach, and that includes a couple of BCS games and, of course, the championship game.
Yeah.
That was Florida State ever lost a bowl game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Head to Florida maybe for the national.
You know what's ironic, Jim, is that – it's not ironic, I guess. It's maybe it is. The fact that they – one of their true strengths is they had the Groves Award winner at kicker, right?
Yeah.
And then the fact that kicking has been such a bugaboo for them over the years, they would have a couple more – trophies on their mantle.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like they don't ever have to worry about wide right or wide left or whatever they always cry about. I mean, this guy.
Yeah, it's barely left of center.
Afterthought. This dude missed one kick.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, no one knows his name, you know, but he
he ought to just change it to Lou Groza. I mean, the guy is—he was money last night.
If it comes down, and actually look back to a kick, we were talking about the kicking game. Parkey misses a 33-yard field goal, and that really, you look back now, I mean, it's the difference in the ball game. I mean, it's not. I mean, the way the game played out is the way it played out. But those are three more points that certainly Auburn could have used. I still say eventually it was the kicking game that kind of hurt them. And I don't know if that's slightly a reflection on Malzahn and his program or not, but certainly they had everything else clicking.
Let's switch to basketball. Arkansas with a conference game tomorrow against Texas A&M, a team that has played, as I said yesterday, I mean, if Arkansas had a bad schedule, fine,
yeah,
you can go that route.
Yeah, you said that last week.
But A&M, it's like Arkansas has played the Lakers schedule.
Well, they just hadn't even had a bad schedule. They've lost at home to this bad schedule.
Yeah.
And they lost by 20 last week to North Texas. If you look at the game, if you look at it on paper, you'd almost say, and I never want to say there's no way Arkansas should lose the game, but
should. Careful, Jim.
They
should
go in there and pound them about the way Arkansas did back when when I was having to do bed check with Ernie Murray down in College Station. Remember that, Ernie?
Was that a segment?
That's a true statement. But, you know, Jim, you know what's amazing? The schedule is 0-0 now. What you did in the past don't matter. It's what you do now because the SEC is a different.
Yeah, but it's going to be 0-0 when Arkansas and Auburn playing football next year. But, I mean, there's still an expectation because of what's happened.
But, you know, coaches go in now and they rally the troops. And Arkansas, on paper, is the better basketball team. But which Arkansas team is going to show up? Are we going to have the ones that can't throw it in the ocean? Or are we going to be dependent on our freshmen to do it? And this basketball team, sometimes the guard play is what scares me sometimes. The Fred Gullies, you know. Sometimes I think guys try to do too much. When you are limited as a basketball player, you got to do what you do well. And that you don't do well, you don't do.
Can I say this? I want to thank Ernie. He's going to be part of our fifth quarter show this year, and we appreciate that. Arkansas, I saw a stat this morning that was on Twitter, has not scored less than 70 points in a game this year. Is that right?
Less than 70.
The only way A&M can get to 70 this year is if there is a fifth quarter.
Right. So, well, here was the difference. Arkansas opened the conference play last year there, and if you remember, they were mauled on the board.
We were awful.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, we couldn't throw in the ocean. Arkansas could not throw in the ocean, but they were mauled on the boards. Now, if Arkansas can't shoot it, I mean, they've got to clean up the boards. And I think one thing they're doing, Ernie, is I think Mike's got this team understanding exactly what you pointed out. I don't think last year's team knew it, but this year's team seems to know if it's not your game, that's not what you do.
That's,
and I think
exactly
they're closer
right
to that. I think it's a really fun team to watch. I think they'll compete to the end this year. As Mike pointed out yesterday in his press conference, if a guy gets in foul trouble like Alanis Harris, they're not, you know, hurting for the next 25 minutes while he sits on the bench. If Marshawn Powell went out last year, it was pretty well over on the inside anyway. I think this team has a lot of interchangeable parts and can take that on the road. And I like what he said. I think his better teams and Nolan's better teams, as Ernie was a part of, took the road as a challenge. It was like, the world's against us. And I think I saw, for the most part, Arkansas play its best ball a lot of times in the better teams that Nolan had on the road than they even did at home, and they would kill people at home.
Jim, we got to take a time out. We will talk some more basketball with Ernie Murray as we go on through. We'll catch up with Jim again next week, and hopefully your phone is doing 100 by next Tuesday.
Well, I'll be in town, and we'll do that.
Yeah, we got to talk about the.
Let's talk about Arkansas Wild, and as duck season kind of wraps up, it's a little slow even with this freeze. But let's talk about it as it wraps up, and the Big Buck Classic is coming up, and there's a lot of things to talk about that involve my other job. So, anyway, great talking with you guys,
Jim. Always a pleasure. Thank you, man.
Take care.
Check out Jim on SportingLifeArkansas.com. By the way, we're going to qualify.